Welcome back. My name is Dimitri Sebastian.
And I'm Wes Kendall.
And we are back in session where your fitness and lifestyle questions are answered and bro science is put to the test.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back. Today we're doing an episode where we're going over the new gym situation. We're back open, so we're going to hear about what the new policies are with safety, you know, keeping everyone infection-free and masked. So we'll go over that. We'll also go over the difference between private gyms and public gyms in the training environment, and then some other books and things that we've got going on in our lives. So check it out. Let us know what you think, and we'll see you on the episode.
Yeah. Look at the way that I glisten. Ice on me dripping. Put it in gear if you gave me permission. Gave her some back shots. She walked out the clinic. Now she's gonna be so for a little minute. Not that I'm so reckless, relentless. I gotta rep it. This I've been so dispensable.
Got your girl thinking that wishing. We are back for another one. The gym's opened.
They're open as a, well, most of them, if not all, are allowed to open. It's just up to them to when they're ready.
Yes. And that's going to be your topic for the day.
Yeah.
So I want you to, everyone to hold on to that thought. And if you want to fast forward, you can, because I want to talk about two really stupid things.
How far should they skip ahead? 15, 20?
15, 20.
Yeah.
Okay. 15, 20. It's not going to be that long because mostly going to be me talking to Boomer Wes.
Yes.
And then me and Wes both putting on our Boomer hats and judging the youths.
Judging the youngins out there.
That's basically, there's no value in this section.
Banter. So
but
skip to the info.
We implore you hang out.
Yeah.
The first thing I want to ask you about is, do you even know who Bella Thorne is?
I feel like I should based on
you
like,
shouldn't.
Your tone.
You shouldn't. No one, like your age group should not be aware of who she is. Okay. I'm not shocked that you do not know who she is.
All right.
Bella Thorne was originally a Disney Channel actress.
All right.
On, I don't know what the name of the show was, but she was very young. Then after that, she got out of her contracts and whatever. Then she went on to become, I guess, famous for I don't know what.
Mm-hmm. Is she pretty hot?
I would Google it for you right now. Okay. I mean, like, she's like a type, but yes. I'm going to go and just say yes.
I'm going to Google it right now.
Like, she like David Black Bear, who's a rapper, and now she's dating like some other tatted up artist dude. Like, she's like kind of like famous for the sake of being famous.
Oh, I've seen her in like some shit.
Yeah. Okay. I don't really know what she does. Have you heard about the OnlyFans controversy with her?
Is she the one who made like $1.5 million in a day?
And then proceeded to ruin OnlyFans for everybody.
Oh, did she? Is that her?
Oh, yeah.
I heard someone made like a ridiculous amount
of
money.
So she makes an OnlyFans.
Yeah.
And says, come join my OnlyFans. Makes like $1 million like in 15 seconds.
Right.
And she never said she was going to be naked. People were a little salty, but ultimately she never false advertised.
Yeah.
People were like, ugh, like that was dumb. Then she proceeds to blast out a message to all her followers that says, if you give me $200, you'll get a full nude whatever it is they give on OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what OnlyFans is. I just think it's like a private Instagram. I've never been on there. I'm like only
sounds like a paid private Insta. It's like basically
it's like a Patreon.
It's like the new version of like those webcam chat.
Yeah.
Things, you know,
I mean like, and before anyone's thinking like, I'm trying to be like, hoy, like, oh, hi on my horse about this. Like, no, I just get my shit free.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, I'm not too good for OnlyFans. Yeah. I'm too cheap for OnlyFans.
Right. Exactly. Anyways, you know, that stuff is probably no good.
Yeah. So she charges $200 for everyone to see this nude video or whatever it is. She lied and sent them not that. It's
is this like when Doja Cat promised she'd show her boobs if she got $1 million views?
Very
and she
similar.
Didn't?
Very similar. The what happens is people got mad because they're like, you didn't send us nudes, which I'm like, you're dumb.
Yeah.
But the problem was that she was on this platform and she said she false advertised. So what a lot of people did, and $200 is a lot to spend on just about anything, really, especially like something that could fall under like entertainment.
Sure.
So a bunch of people went to OnlyFans and asked for like their money back, like they did chargebacks.
Right.
OnlyFans, of course, does not have all this money on hand, obviously, because businesses like have a lot of stuff like tied up in other things.
It's already in Bella's bank account, probably.
Yeah, probably. So they made it so that, one, it takes 30 days for these people who provide the content, 30 days so that they can get their money. Mm-hmm. Whereas before it was a week. Now you can only tip $50, I guess, $50 or $100, whereas before it was like unlimited, like normal tipping.
Right.
And then for any individual picture, you can only charge $50 to like get that extra content, whereas before I think it was limitless.
So how did it break OnlyFans? Like
the reason it broke OnlyFans, and this is like some my classist rhetoric stuff that we're talking about earlier today, is a bunch of people who are sex workers by necessity, like they lost their job or like things just aren't, you know, going right for them. So they decide to like take these steps. So like
the strippers who can't go to the strip club because of distancing.
A rich person, Bella Thorne, came in, stomped all over their ground, and then ruined the platform.
But she didn't take money from them.
Well, she now has denied them. So some of these girls were literally getting like thousands of dollars in tips.
Yeah.
They are now capped. Oh. So they can no longer make as much money. So
she broke the system.
She broke the system. So basically it's like someone, you're a trainer.
Yeah.
You're making blank amount of money. Imagine someone, super Brad Pitt, decides he's going to become a trainer and then does something so stupid that you not only lose 50% of your income, it can never really ever recover to what it was.
So she scammed him.
So, and now this is where it gets even better.
Yeah.
And I don't even know why I opened with this. I love this now. She ruined the whole system.
Yeah.
And then she tells everyone, oh, it was because I was doing an experiment because I'm going to be doing a movie about something like this.
Like a sex worker or something?
I guess. And I want to understand that perspective. And she like named a random director. And that they asked that director, he's like, I'm not doing a movie with Bella Thorne. I don't know what the hell she's talking about. So she just straight up lied.
Wow. Okay. Well,
how does your boomer brain feel?
Shocked that this is where we've come to, but I guess,
are you shocked?
And on the other hand, you know, it's like, we're just people. That's this is what we do. That's why the military has all these dumb rules.
Oh, exactly. Every time if you see a stupid rule, it's because someone did something stupid.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, that just shows like, you know, human nature right there.
Yeah, it's nuts, dude. Wow. It's nuts. Moving on to other stupid things. I saw that, and I just saw this. If for anyone who has no idea what we're talking about, yes, things have gotten to this point.
Just Google Bella Thorne, because I just did, and then scroll down past like the first three links, and you'll see
You'll know exactly what's going on. It's crazy. Basically, rich young people are dumb. Congratulations. We've really solved something that no one else knew. Mm.
Yes.
We were talking about this, and I did want to bring it up briefly because it's
there's poor Instahoes. Sorry,
no, I sympathize. I get it because it's like so easy. Social light looking for like, oh no, the girls who post their news online aren't getting help now. It's like, yeah, but like I support anyone who's out there trying to get their money. And if someone messes with your money, that's why I try to like turn to like the trainer.
Yeah, yeah.
Thing.
No, I sympathize a little bit because it's like I'm not much better. I'm being a somewhat of an insta-ho
all
myself.
All salespeople are whores.
Yeah.
I work in sales, and that's like one of the first things one of my sales managers said. He's like, all salespeople are whores.
Yes.
Like, you have to, like, be willing to, like, debase yourself slightly and, like, change who you are as an individual to please other people so that you can make that sale.
Right.
So at the end of the day, get your money, and if a rich Instagram person ruins that for you, you have every right to be super upset.
Mm-hmm. It's your right as an American.
It's your right as an American to be upset with rich people ruining things for you.
That's the theme of 2020 right there.
Really, Bella Thorne in this situation is just an encapsulation of what 2020 is.
Oh, my God.
Moving on to extra stupid things.
Yeah.
Instead of at a macro level caused by one person, it's the micro level of a lot of small people ruining everything.
Yes.
To a macro level.
What's new?
The college kids suck.
Yeah.
And this is speaking as prior college kids. I feel like we're allowed to...
Is it the college kids or is it the college campuses?
Both.
Yeah.
Can it be both?
Yeah, it can be both.
So I think we talked about this briefly. I don't remember if we talked about this last week.
A little bit.
The college kids like coming in, like hugging each other, causing all these problems, yelling, mm-hmm. like not wearing masks. We were talking about even the college kids here in like Phoenix and Scottsdale when they're going out. Like, they don't give a damn.
Yeah.
They're living their lives being young. And then my buddy sent me a link today that an entire sorority house in U of A is like infected.
They all are probably showing symptoms, but they're not probably all sick, right?
I would venture a guess that they all went to the clinic and I'm going to venture a guess that a large enough number came up positive from actual tests that it's best to just assume that anyone showing symptoms at that point is probably infected.
Yeah.
Maybe a stretch, but close enough.
Yeah. I mean, they all probably have antibodies or like have been exposed at least. Sure they have.
Exactly. So it's funny that we're talking about the gyms opening.
Just so you guys know, there's like 200 girls in a sorority per sorority.
Is there really that many?
Yeah, there's like 200.
That's too many.
Yeah.
Too many in a house, especially like they're all like doing their hair whip things. They're probably like throwing...
I don't know how they do at U of A, but at ASU, they have like this one area where it's like all the sororities have to live, you know, and it's not like all the members, but they have to keep the house full to a capacity in order to like keep that property.
I think that's the same at U of A. I don't know what the rules are specific. I know that not everyone who's in the sorority lives there.
Yeah. But they have to keep them full because they're paying rent on it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that they're basically renting it from the university, right?
Yeah.
Because they're not allowed to, like, straight up own it, less than the university couldn't, like, enforce their bylaws.
Like, I know we had a similar situation in my fraternity, and it's like, if we would force members to live in the complex if there was vacant rooms, because it's like, that was part of the thing is, you know, we had to keep it full.
And that's reason number 100 why I didn't stick around. It's like, there's a bunch of, like, Greek life people are like, fucking goddamn independence. But,
well, it wasn't that hard to find people, as you can imagine. A lot of people wanted to
freshman
live there.
Sophomore, like, make some friends. It's fine.
Yeah.
Well, that's, it's nuts, dude. It's funny because, like, everything else in life seems to be like we're kind of getting it together. We're making it happen, and then all of these the college is open, and now they're like thinking about closing again. It's like, why would you even close it at this point? You're just going to send them back home to their parents, who are actually.
You want to hear a conspiracy?
Oh God. Do I? Go.
Okay. So I was hearing, we were talking about this weekend with, you know, up in Sedona, and some of them were saying, like, they bet, some teachers were saying they bet that the kids come back to school for like 2-3 weeks until they get past the no drop deadline. Uh-huh. And then they're like, hey, we got to close back down. Sorry.
And they're not going to get their money back.
And then they're going to have to stay in the class. They're going to switch to online. The university is going to get their tuition and everything.
Okay. That's the kind of freaking conspiracy I can get behind all day.
Yeah.
People are like, Dimitri, why don't you have like a bunch of, you know, U of A gear? Why aren't you in the Alumni Association? Why don't you have any spears? Like, cause I paid too much money to this, this association, this organization. To have any spirit. Like, it's just a business. It's like being enthusiastic that you work at Amazon. It's like being enthusiastic about that you work at Walmart. It's like, it's just an organization.
Yeah.
And at least in other organizations, it is you what get you paid.
Make. Right. That's true.
It's like you can get experience in all types of places. It's just like, if you loved your school and you had a great time, I'm not going to fault you.
Bro, how long have we been on this tangent? Because I might throw another tangent in there.
We're at 11 minutes.
Okay, we still got nine more minutes. We still got nine more minutes. Okay, so I think, you know, did you hear on Joe Rogan when they were talking about, so I forgot, one of the Weinstein brothers? And they were talking about how, like, a lot of the research done nowadays is through universities, right?
Yeah.
Like, all the research.
Almost all.
Yeah. And all of that is paid for by tuition, not paid for by studies and companies and stuff like that.
Yes.
So the reason why they did that is so that the universities could keep all that research money. And, you know, they're just basically, like, underpaying free labor because the students are doing the research, not real scientists. So real scientists don't get paid for research and can't get paid for research. They don't even have jobs because all their work is being taken by free labor.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. College is, I'll say it right now, as a college graduate, college is the biggest scam in the entire United States. I'm sure everyone can, like, compete. Everyone's got their own, like, tinfoil hat thing that they hate. But for me, every interview I've been in, people care more about my military experience, which I barely have any of that, than my freaking bachelor. My bachelor degree was a check mark. So my thing, recommendation, if you were a kid listening,
like, let me see your OER. No, just kidding.
I'll have you know I met the standard. If you're graduating high school, and I guarantee we don't have that many freaking non-high school graduates here, but go to the community college for as long as you can. Like, the 2 to 3 years, knock out every single credit you can.
Yeah.
At freaking Mesa Community College, Pima Community College, Scottsdale Community College, whatever one. It costs like a fourth of the cost. Mm-hmm. Doesn't even matter. Most of the teachers there actually are from the university. They don't get paid enough, so they have a secondary job at the community
Isn't that
college.
So wild? My English teacher was like also the manager at Whole Foods. It's like, holy
it's
shit.
It's sad. Yeah. Like, most of my... Almost every chemistry teacher I think I know from U of A that I was aware of also, like, did some stuff at Pima, usually just online.
Right.
A lot of the math teachers. But moral of the story is you're getting basically the same education for way less of the cost, and then you can just wrap it up at the end. If you're of a certain wealth level, blah, 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 and your parents are awesome and they're taking care of you.
Or you got a scholarship
all,
or whatever.
Kiss your mom on the forehead, say thank you, or you got, you're super smart, you got a scholarship, proud of you. Then you can go do like the whole college experience thing. But understand the reason college is so expensive. First of all, it's because everyone can get loans, but that's a whole different conversation. But the reason it's so expensive is for the lifestyle and like the experience. The education
pay for the experience
has not, the price is not.
Is and it is an experience.
It is an experience. It's a great experience. I loved college. Yeah. But the moral of the story is college has gone up like 1,000%. The education hasn't gotten 1,000% better.
anything, it's gotten more watered down.
Yeah, they're trying to make everything online nowadays. Like mm-hmm. when I was leaving the sociology department and graduating, like they were trying to, like half the class I took, they were trying to make them entirely online.
And they're doing this hybrid shit right now where it's like two in person and then like the rest of it is online. Terrible. Yeah. I know. I was talking to someone yesterday and they're saying that the online classes at university are like 200 people in like an online lecture. It's like, imagine having a Teams meeting with 200 people. You're not going to get shit done.
It's even, I mean, I had a couple huge classes when I was what is it called? Econ 101.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. It was huge. It sucked. Now imagine that on just a computer only. So you're mm-hmm. even less of a blip. You're not a blip in a crowd.
Right.
You're a blip in a data sheet. You can't even in person after class go walk up and ask a question.
Right. It's like
you're
true.
You're done. You're completely faceless.
Mm-hmm. Well,
have we beaten this enough?
Yeah, I think
have
so.
Have we beaten this to death?
Yes.
We hit about 15 minutes. We didn't lie. Let's go ahead and move on to our wins and losses. Should we start with the wins or the losses?
I'm ready for my win.
Let's hear your win.
Okay. So this week, we went to Sedona. It was Nicole's birthday, and we got an Airbnb up there, and we went on this cool hike. It was called, funny name, the Wet Crack at Wet Beaver.
Wet Crack at Wet Beaver.
Or Crack at Wet Beaver.
Crack at Wet Beaver.
So, you know, you can imagine a lot of jokes were made.
That was funny.
The guy a lot of jokes were made.
He was hilarious.
At the expense of the name of the hike.
No, I love that guy. That was the guy. He got away with that. He put that through like a board of directors. They're all a bunch of like 60, 70-year-old people. They didn't catch on the joke.
Yeah.
And that is what he gets to die.
Crack at Wet Beaver. He's like...
Beautiful.
He's like, I named this hike. National hike. Yeah, so we went on the hike. It was pretty cool. It was like a 7-mile total. It took us like 4 hours, I want to say.
7 hours total hike?
No, 4 hours. 7 miles. Sorry.
Okay.
Well, 7 miles total. 4 hours. Of course, and at the good part about the hike is in the middle, at the turnaround point, you go to like these cliff and waterfall jumping areas. Mm-hmm. And it's like in Arizona, now that like Instagram is a thing, I feel like all of our touristy hikes are like super crowded now.
Oh, they're ruined.
Yeah. It's like Slide Rock or, you know, what's the other one? Fossil Creek.
Yeah.
Those ones, like you have to reserve a spot now. You can't just go.
What's the one that's like the waterfalls?
The Fossil Creek, I think.
No, it's like Java something. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Havasupai, you mean?
Havasupai. Yeah. That one, like it's like you have to like
notoriously overcrowded and like.
Yeah,
booked, overbooked.
And if you like, there's one point a year they offer all their tickets and they go away like immediately.
You have to book it in like the first 5 minutes or else they're gone something like that. Yeah. Yeah. So basically, we went there and this is like one of the less known hikes. And when we got there, they're like, hey, if you guys don't have a gallon of water each, you can't go on the hike. The park ranger said
that. It was that hot?
It wasn't. Fortunately, because halfway through the hike, there some clouds rolled in and it started sprinkling a little bit.
I mean, I'm glad because like, people die, man.
Yeah, they said that there's been over 100 rescues on that hike this year.
Yeah, they can't afford that. For those of you who don't know, Arizona has a stupid hiker law.
Yeah.
Or it's a, I can't remember. It's like it's basically just like a stupidity law. Like if you get rescued for doing something unsafe, like driving into a ditch that's flooded and you get swept away, or you go out and go hiking and you were underprepared, they actually charge you for the cost of that rescue.
Yeah.
Which I think is poetic. It's, poetic justice.
It is. Way, you deserve it.
Well, I mean, it's good that they're doing that. I think the Sedona hikes stay a little bit more pure because they're so hard.
Yeah.
Like the Insta crowd is not willing to walk 4 miles.
They don't go to all of them. They just go to like the few that are like good photos. Yeah, like spots.
Slide Rock is like a 200-meter walk. Of course people are going to go there.
Yeah.
Beaver Creek, it's like you walk down a hill.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas that one, it's like, no, you're 2 miles in, 2 miles out. Like, you're going to have a long day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's at least a journey to get there. So, fortunately, it became overcast and a little rainy, so that made it much more comfortable.
Yeah.
We got there, and we jumped off these rocks. We got some cool videos. I jumped off the 10, 20, and 40-foot jump. So
are you posting your videos?
I should. Unfortunately, my 40-foot jump video is kind of low quality, so I'm hesitant to
post your videos. Post your shitty
videos. I'll post them.
Post your shitty.
You're that guy's. I'll post it. It'll
it's lifestyle.
Yeah.
Lifestyle of the famous.
Yes.
My win is small but big to me is that I am now a hydro homie. And I got myself my, I have it right here. my gallon
bottle. I saw your gallon. You sent me a picture of that with your markers on it.
My gallon bottle. Mm-hmm. And it is marked by the hours of the day. They're not accurate to the times that I'm awake.
Bro, they're not like, there's no motivational quotes next to it.
It took
like,
me a long time.
You're a badass. You've got this. It took me a long keep going.
Time to find one that didn't have that. I just wanted the marks that divvy it through the day.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them are like, almost there. You're doing great, killing it. And it's like, I didn't want a single one of those things. Like, do not talk to me. Water
you'd
bottle.
Be like, I will not look at you.
Whereas this one just has times that, like, I'm drinking water till like midnight. Typically, this one ends at like 7 p.m.
Yeah.
However, it has been great. I'm on like day 4 of drinking a gallon every single day.
I like that.
I'm sticking to it.
Good.
And I feel better. I've been actually like, because I've been like desperately dehydrated like all the time. Everyone in Arizona, I'm going to tell you right now, you're probably dehydrated. Mm-hmm. Unless you,
we're all dehydrated. That was me drinking water.
Yeah, right. If you can't immediately respond to this podcast and be like, "I'm not fucking dehydrated," you're dehydrated because most of the people who say that, they know that they're drinking a gallon of water and they're keeping track.
Unless you're on top of your gallon.
Yeah, if you're on top of it, you know who you are.
Yeah, you're just living there, so it feels normal.
But the rest of us, and myself included, are fucking dehydrated. So that's my win. I said I'm now a hydro homie.
I see you, and I see you getting after it, bro. I like that.
I know, and this will, but this does come. Actually, we'll just go and roll straight into my loss.
Yeah,
my L for the week is that I realized that I lost my mojo, and I want to be clear about what my mojo is, because as many of you who go and work out a lot know, is that working out is more about like it's not so much a discipline thing; it's a habit thing. You build it, and it's just like you now in your body know you go every single day or 5 days a week, and you know it, and you crave it. And I've been there for years, but since the gyms have been closed, I lost my mojo.
Yeah.
And I realized because the gyms reopened like Monday and I was like, told myself, I was like, I'm going to be there first thing on Monday. Monday came around. I was like, sounds like Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, I was like, oh shit, I don't really feel like fucking going like at all. And
it's tough.
That is an L in itself, but I also think it's a positive because I mentally recognize it. I'm not like on some weird shit where I'm like, oh, will I get around to it? Like, no, I'm just going to go and I'm going to have a bad time tomorrow. But I think it's there's a high quality moment to realize that like you can lose your gym addiction just as easily as anything. But
that's true.
It's going to come back.
I like that.
I hope that's my win. That's my goal for my win for next week is that my mojo will be back.
You're going to turn that loss into a win.
Yes. Next week, I'm holding myself accountable. Mojo will be back.
Remind me to update your workout program now that you're back.
Oh, into please it. Do. Yes. I'm trying to go tomorrow.
I got to get you back in there with your workouts.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, I'm getting a little chunky. I've been eating a lot of carbs with this vegetarian stuff. And also, guys, we'll talk about this at the end of the vegetarian stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm going another month. We're going another month. I'm excited for it. And I think that we're going to benefit from it. What was your L?
Let's see. What was my L? I think that my L was I feel like I should have done a better handoff leaving Avondale and transitioning over to Scottsdale. Like, you know, when in the military, when you like leave your
change
of command, basically, yeah, like you're moving out of your base into another base and someone else is taking over, or like one leader's coming in, one leader's coming out. Usually what they do is they'll have a time where they hand off, they'll like work together with the other people and then they'll like, you know, slowly relinquish command as the other person gains those responsibilities.
Yeah.
That's how it should be done. And I feel like I got complacent and didn't do that as well as I should have. I feel a little guilty that I could have done more to prep my clients and my friends who are trainers there into receiving my new clients better. So I apologize.
It's never too late.
Avondale clients.
It is never too late to reach back out and say, hey, do you feel like you were completely taken care of, coworker person?
Yeah.
And they'll be like, they'll probably say, yeah, no, I'm good. And then you don't have to feel bad. Or they'll say, like, actually, I was wondering this. And then you get to fix it right there.
So not only that, but also the clients that are like, you know, oh, who do I train with now? I should have like talked to all of them individually. Like, look, you should probably book with this person. Okay. Like, you know, I should have done that better.
You can reach back and just make sure they're good. I mean, the thing is, it's like breaking up. I mean, I don't use the word breaking up
with my clients.
Breaking up with clients is hard.
Yeah.
Like, I've done it before when I worked in my last IT sales job. It's like, I had these great clients who I've been working with for like a full year and like they knew me.
Yeah.
And I had to be like, okay, hey, I'm going to be passing you off to Channing. She's great. We love her. And they're like, oh, but I liked working with you. And I was like, I know, but this is like what's happening.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's like, okay, well, whatever. They'll be fine.
They'll be fine. It's just, it could have, I felt guilty, I guess is what I'm saying.
And you should.
Thank you.
No, I mean, like, if you're a good salesperson, a good trainer, a good person to take care of clients, you will always feel guilty. If you feel guilty, that means that you did something. You were doing
means
the right
that
thing.
I cared.
It means you cared. Yeah, I mean, like, if you leave your clients and you're like freaking whatever.
See ya.
Bye. Like. Then you probably weren't doing the thing. It's like there's no way to leave and feel like you completely did it properly.
Yeah. Well, thanks, bro. Thanks for making me feel
here
better.
I'm here to support you.
Appreciate that.
I'm here. Cool. Well,
what was your loss?
That was my loss.
Yeah, we got that already. You're right.
None of us are losers. We're all winners this week. Well, let's roll into the topics for today. I feel like we're just talking about the gyms being reopened. Like, it's official now.
Yeah, it's official. We're living it.
We can't bitch anymore.
Actually seeing it happen. I mean, I know you're about to make it in there. We could actually work out tomorrow if you want.
You said like 8 a.m.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
your
right.
Your boy got a job.
What about 7 a.m.?
Your boy got a
Fair enough. Yeah. I don't want to wake up that early.
I literally just said, like, yeah, I lost my mojo. Wes, like, cool, 7 a.m., let's hit it.
I don't want to wake up at 6 to get there at 7 either.
I'm setting myself up for success. I'm going, like, in the evening.
Yeah.
When, like, I'm emotionally capable.
How does it work at Indy? Do you just go back in there and reactivate, or do they already charge you, or what happens?
I don't even know if I'm going back to Indy. If I can get signed up with Mountainside Online,
yeah,
I'm just going to go to Mountainside.
Yeah,
and I'm just going to slip in there and, like, fall into it. I mean, because we talked about before, I'm kind of just wanting to switch over for a number of reasons, but right. I mean, if they make it easy for me,
yeah,
then I'm just going to be at Mountainside tomorrow.
Because mm-hmm.
that's, like, literally what I'm doing.
Feel that.
Tonight is, like, seeing if I can sign for the gym. If I can, then boom, I'm there.
Okay, fair enough.
But, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. A little bit of a tangent right off the bat, but
gyms are
reopening. They all at least have the capacity to reopen. It's up to them whether they meet the criteria and can do it safely.
Well, it's interesting because there's different criteria, and that's what we wanted to talk about mostly today is, like, so some gyms are being held to what seems like different standards. Like, so, like, there's the private gyms that seem to be going, like, all over the place. Do you know what the public gyms have been doing? I don't know anything about the public gyms.
So they are forced to do the reservation services. They're forced to wear masks, and they're forced to, like, you know, remove certain, like, high surface touching equipment, like
medicine balls,
shit like that, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. So that's usually what most of the bigger ones are doing. I haven't heard what, like, Lifetime Fitness is doing yet, but I know EOS and Mountainside are kind of on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, like, some of the bigger gyms. And then a lot of the smaller gyms, we talked about this last time, are, like, still trying to stay under the radar a little bit.
Would be falling under, like, private gyms?
Yes.
Like, so they're not really, I don't want to say they're not following the rules, but they're, like, kind of operating under a different set of.
Yeah. So, like, a lot of them are just sticking to appointment only, no open gym, no new members, and, like, just kind of, like, trying to keep it into smaller isolated groups without, like, I don't know if I should be saying this, but, like, we're not wearing masks in our gyms, but it's keeping it, like, smaller groups separated, if that makes sense. Like, I have my group of, like, 1 to 4 people,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, Thrive or whatever other company over there has their training session, like, you know, on different equipment.
Well, it sounds like they're operating in a, when you say no new clients,
yeah,
that's one of the biggest things. So it's like, we've talked about this multiple times, and it's been very clear since the beginning. They're like, hey, look, like, if you are with someone all the time, you're probably good.
Yeah, you're already exposed to them.
Yeah. It's the cross-pollination all the time, doing
new
stuff
networks,
like that.
New faces, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think private gyms are doing the most they can to keep things normal
mm-hmm.
while also trying to keep their heads down. Because it's like, these are acting all extra, they're going to get shut down.
Right. Like, which we've seen, like, some people run into legal issues, like Self-Made. We don't know. They might even get closed down permanently. Like, we'll see what happens with all
yeah,
that
Yeah, I mean, it's like, the thing is, it's like,
facing a felony.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
What'd they do?
For not closing down ever.
Wait, they never, like...
No, he never closed down. And, like, he still kept going 100%. And he was, like, every day that the cops would show up to serve him, he would, like, go live and, like, post that shit and, like, tag Ducey and, like, you know, he was asking for it, bro.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, I get it. I get what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
But also, like, you know, have some perspective, right?
Yeah.
Like, just, like, be smart.
Yeah. I feel like that might have been overdoing it a little bit, but we'll see. I mean,
if he loses his business over it, then it wasn't smart. That's all there is to it. It's like, that's the thing. You got to be, like, political.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we always say that's people. It's like, there's, like, in the military, there's, like, being right and there's being right.
Yeah.
It's like, is it worth it to, like, die on this hill? Like, the answer is almost always no.
Right. Yeah, it's not.
Like, just make it to the next day.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. But I mean, I do see that the private gyms are, they're doing it differently, but they're staying within some guidelines. And the fact that they haven't been shut down, the state knows what's going on.
Right.
Like the cops, like all they do is like hashtag the name of your gym and they'll see a bunch of videos of what's going on.
That's a good point. Yeah. They can easily figure it out.
Cause in even what you were talking about when the beginning happened, like, you know, cops were like stopping by every gym, like just like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Just check. And that's probably why that guy got caught. And,
And so, he was blasting it in social media.
I know, right? We were talking about that guy in California, the one who does the zoo.
Oh, Bradley Martin. Yeah,
like cops keep showing up to his place because they keep fucking blasting it out. Mm-hmm. And no gym's safe from that. So it's like, you know, the state is willing to accept a certain level of deviancy.
Yeah.
As long as, like, they're not so being weird. Assholes like, about it.
You know, how... I hate to say it, and it's probably, like, a little bit of privilege in me saying this, but I feel like rules don't apply to you all the time. Rules are, or like rules are there for when you need them. That's what I've noticed in 2020.
Well, it's just different, man. It's lower. It's like, you pick your battles when you're the cops, you pick your battles. Yeah. And you're right. It is a privilege thing. It's like, not everyone's privileged enough to be able to afford to go to a private gym. Yeah. And it's like, why is Planet Fitness being held at that level? It's like, well, cause you go to a freaking huge gym that charges $10 a month. Mm-hmm. Like that's why.
Right.
Is it fair? No.
No, it's not.
I don't think it's fair at all. But that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Like, I don't make the rules.
True.
But that's what's happening. One thing I did want to talk. You mentioned the masks and, you know, where we'll leave out the ones that aren't doing it. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the masks in gym?
It's a double-edged sword, for sure. Mm-hmm. I honestly feel like if you work out a certain way, it's difficult to do it with a mask. Mm-hmm. Like, if you do, like, HIIT circuit training, or you do, like, you know, interval training, it's difficult to work out with a mask in the intensity that you normally are used to.
Yeah.
Can you adapt to it over time? Probably.
Yeah.
Also, another thing is, like, yeah, I understand the statistics that it's, like, barely over a percent chance of spreading it if you have a mask.
Or yeah, they both have it. Yeah. It's, like, different varying levels. Both have masks. Like,
it's, like, very low chance.
It brings it super low, yeah.
Yeah, which is good. Also, I've heard from, you know, two doctors that I know, that if you are asymptomatic, you have 1.6% chance of spreading the infection because you spread it through the symptoms. Mm-hmm. So if you're not exhibiting symptoms, you're not spreading it.
Oh, because like sneezing, coughing,
mucus.
So as long as you're wearing that mask and you're basically like, even if you're asymptomatic, you're pretty much.
Yes.
Which is probably why we're even able to open the gyms at this point.
It's right.
Like the idea is that personal responsibility says, like, if you're feeling sick or showing symptoms, you stay home.
Right. Yeah. And that's why, like, every gym, even the ones that don't mandate that you wear a mask, mm-hmm. still take the temperature when you walk in and make sure you're not showing symptoms.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. And that's one thing that we started doing at 5-Star. Like, we started taking temperatures before everyone else. So we got ahead of that train.
That is one thing that when I was young, I was supportive of. And as I've gotten older, I realize how stupid you sound is when you say, like, oh, I have a fever. I need to go to the gym and work it out. Fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
Like, go on a run or something.
Like, sit in your bathtub. Like,
even if it wasn't even during a pandemic, like, can you please not?
Yeah, it's don't like, be that asshole spreading.
Exactly. Like, when I was younger, I was like, yeah, gotta go work it out. And it's like,
go sweat it out.
I was a part of the problem. But, like, I'm telling you right now, like, no, anyone who does that is dumb. Yeah. I'm dumb. Or was at least. Team no days off. No, I'm like freaking... No, that's just that's stupid. Yeah, no, I'm of the opinion with the masks is that the guys who wore the elevation masks can do it. That means you can.
They're winning right now. They're like, I trained my whole life for this.
Exactly. They've been like, I've been wearing the masks since day one. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh my god, it's so funny.
Yeah, no, I mean, I understand for like older people maybe, but also it's like, well, if you're older and in a risk environment, just take your worst workout.
Okay, what if Mountainside tomorrow, like, said that we recommend you or said that you can wear a mask, it's optional or not?
I thought they're making people wear masks.
They are, but what if they change their mind? What would you do?
I am what you call a follower.
Yeah.
In that I'm super worried about people being mad at me. Mm-hmm. And if everyone, I'd bring the mask with me. And if more than 50% of people are wearing the mask, I'm going to wear the mask.
I feel that.
Because I fall victim to peer pressure like nothing.
If I saw at least like 3 or 4 other people were not wearing a mask, I would totally not wear it. If as long as I wasn't the only one not wearing a mask.
Earlier at Indy, when they opened again for a period there's only ever one guy. It was the same guy every single time. Was his name Nick?
Yeah, it was Nick, our trainer, right?
Not counting trainers. No, there was one guy who wasn't a trainer. Yeah, I forgot about the trainers. They all did wear them.
Yeah.
But there's always one guy. So like, I always had my mask in my pocket because I was ready for the day that like that was like the norm.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay. Like, but I was like the king of wiping things down.
Yeah.
So that was like my contribution. So it's like, is, I don't know. I'm not a freaking subject matter expert on this. I'm not what I'd call someone you should trust as far as whether I should. I say, if they tell me to wear it, I'm going to wear it.
Yeah.
I am the king of falling in line.
Well, we were trained to do that by the U.S. government.
I know, exactly. It's like, people out there's like, you need to either have already proactively fallen in line or you need to fight against the power. It's like, no, I follow the power. The power tells me to do something. I have no self-respect. I trust the power.
Yeah. I think a lot of the places, I would say all the public gyms are still making people wear masks 100%. Some of the private gyms aren't. I would prefer the way that I train not to wear one. I've actually looked into like, because I know now that I'm moving to the Scottsdale gym, I don't have the option. I have to wear it at Independence Gym because everyone wears a mask at Independence Gym no matter what.
Yeah.
Have you seen like those like smaller plastic chin masks? I was looking at those.
Smaller chin masks.
Yeah.
Are they the ones that come up like a duck bill backwards?
No, it's like a plastic thing and it stops like right here. I'm making a square around my mouth and my nose. You guys can't tell, but basically it's like it has plenty of room above, you know, where your eyes are for air to come in, because that's the problem, is it like stands off from your face an inch where like a real mask is sitting on your face.
You'll have to show me a picture after this, but I've seen a lot of alternative ones. Like it's like a upside down visor that goes up your whole face. Yeah. I've seen those people wearing those gyms. So it's like, you're not breathing on people, but ultimately you're like, have a little more airflow.
Yeah. Like I've worked out in a mask a couple times now.
I think it's symbolic. Cause I watched a video that was showing how if you use like those like weird, like balaclava things.
Yeah.
It had a guy with like a candle. It's like, if you have one of those, like those weird little like neck sleeves you pull up.
Yeah.
If you blow through that, it'll blow out the candle. If you wear like the fabric ones you get from Amazon, it'll blow out the candle. Like the only ones that actually block airflow entirely are any type of medical grade mask. You don't need to get like the M95 or whatever.
But well, we already determined that they don't care about that. They don't care about the authorized ones. All they care about is a covering and compliance.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a lot of it's symbolic. So that's a weird argument if you want to make that, because if you're really talking about what works, like we shouldn't be accepting the fabric ones, but also it's like it does reduce it. So even if it's a 50% help.
Yeah. It's better than nothing, I guess.
It's a whole thing, man. And I'm feeling very, you know, I have no problem admitting that like my like emotional state has like plummeted from not being like, and I consider myself to be like a very like, you know, like I have my resiliency training. I consider myself to be like a pretty sturdy person emotionally. But like, you know, we talked about this before, is that like me not being able to go to the gym, it's like I lost my dopamine source. It was like,
it's part of your routine.
It's part of my routine. Like it feels weird. I don't have my thing that helps. Like, cause like I've talked about before, like that's what helps me sleep at night.
Yeah.
And I'll admit like, you know, I drink like every night now, not a lot.
Yeah.
But like, it's immensely gymnastic to myself into saying it's like not a big deal.
Yeah.
But really it's probably because like I have so much like running in my head at all times. Yeah. That now I don't have my positive way to chill out. I've been using like what would be construed as a not good way to do it. So it's like, okay, like that's why I need to get back in the gym. But like, I'm of the opinion, like if you're going to have the malls open, if you're going to have all this other BS going and people are allowed to be out there, open the gyms so that I can have my positive thing.
Right.
Bars are open now. Restaurants are open now. Mm-hmm. Please let me work out.
Right.
If you're going to close everything, I'm there for it. Like I said, I'll bend to the fucking man every single time. But, you know, it's an in-between. I think it's an argument to be made on both sides.
It definitely is. I think it's up to the individual in most regards. Like, you know your network, who you come in contact with, if you're, like, you know, at risk or risky.
Yeah.
So it's like, have some self-awareness, I think.
I love the meme that came out a while ago where it's like in movies, like America facing the plague. It's like a bunch of scientists and like everyone being like locked down. It's like, and then it's like actually, and it's like a picture of a peasant licking the rat. And it's like, your plague is fake.
That's so funny.
Yeah, dude, it's nuts. You just make your choices for yourself. Like at the end of the day, unless you're an anti-vaxxer, you should trust yourself.
I agree.
Vaccinate your kids. but trust yourself.
Yes.
They've also been doing, some of them have been doing half versus full. So I noticed, I don't understand this one, because Mountainside's doing half,
yeah,
but Indy's doing full, correct?
I think, like, as of last week, they were allowed to open at 20%. That was the ruling.
Okay.
And as it continues to get better, I heard, like, depending on the area, like, certain areas of the valley are, like, you know, better than others as far as infection rates, then those can open at greater capacity. So it's like, I think the lower it gets under 10%, the higher the capacity can get.
I wonder, I should have checked these.
I think we're under 10% now.
Are we under?
Yeah. Because
Arizona was like, we were getting shit talked on us by, like, everybody for a minute.
Yeah, we were. Everyone's like,
we were looking a lot like Florida for a second.
All the warm states where people are going outside.
Yeah, dude. I was like, we have so many old people. We have so many, like, libertarian states rightsy types people over here. It's like, they're like, I don't need no government to tell me what I can and cannot breathe on. And it's like, come on, Arizona. Let's get it together.
Yeah. No, I agree, man. I think we're finally getting it. And I think that it was interesting. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but Mountainside, when they made their case, they brought on three doctors to, like, explain how the gyms were not the reason why the spike was going up.
Well, actually, that moves us into our next topic. Mountainside, we talked about this. A very good comparison was, like, the Kaepernick situation.
Right.
Where Kaepernick kneeled, lost his job, caused a bunch of problems. No one will hire him. Mm-hmm. But then after that, like, tons and tons of players kneel almost every game since then.
Right.
And they don't get really attacked as much. Whereas, like, so this time, same thing. Mountainside stepped up and talked shit openly and were saying, like, this is wrong. And they were, like, kind of getting the business.
Whereas
EOS
CNN
got to, like, quietly open.
Yeah. EOS, like, played the same game as they did legal, like, in the courts, but they didn't say a word on social media. They didn't post a single thing, and they basically, like, waited till the ruling came out, and then they were the first gym to allow it to be open.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, I think it was a tactical move on their part.
But it can be argued that EOS wouldn't be where it's at now if Mountainside didn't cause shit.
I agree with that.
Which I think is funny, because the people who, like, retell history always can be like, oh, well, they would have been able to open. Mountainside should have just chilled. I was like, I doubt that. I don't believe so.
Right. Yeah, I think that that was a kick in the butt as far as, you know, policy and the government to start to reopen businesses. So it was like the hard fight that needed to be fought by somebody. And, you know, I
mean,
like,
that's the part of the reason why I want to start going Mountainside. I was like, these people
support that.
Yeah. I like their freaking attitude. I like where they're at as far as the headspace goes. And I also just enjoyed the time I went there. So I was like, I'm looking for a new gym anyways.
They suffered the consequences for being a whistleblower, but, you know, that might not be the right term.
I don't know if whistleblower is the right term, but I think we all have to accept that, like, anyone who is going to be a part of, we'll say, like, a quote-unquote, like, change or revolution at any degree is always going to be the one that gets punished.
Right.
And that's, I think that's something that we as a people need to just accept and understand that.
Being a martyr.
Yeah, there's no easy way to be the one to make the change.
Right.
And especially when it's an unpopular or it's against the powers in charge.
It did, yeah. And again, I'll say it again. It gave me some pride in, you know, America as a country and how we still have some freedoms. You know, it shows that we do.
It's interesting. It's
like, you can fight the system if it is going wrong.
Yeah. You know? It's fine. We talk about Bellthorne being the mark of 2020, like Mountainside again. It's like this, like these micro things represent like what we've been going through. It's like,
yeah,
people are making decisions about what they want to do and they're pissing people off.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say that for all over the place. It's just like, we live in a country where you're allowed to, will you suffer some consequences? Unfortunately, no matter what.
Consequences.
But there's still people out there that are willing to suffer consequences for trying to change things in a way that they think is better. And I think that's a beautiful thing, even if you disagree with them.
I think Mountainside will be all right in the long run.
There's a lot of people that disagree with Mountainside. They're like,
they're reckless. They shouldn't have been doing that.
There's some people that are probably going to hate us for thinking that, like, even going to the gym, like, without a mask on because no one else is that makes us morons. It's like, yeah, maybe.
I remember after the like Blackout Thursday or Blackout Tuesday, whatever that thing on social media.
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
Yeah. I remember posting, like, a picture, like, a week after that. And people, I lost, like, 8 or 9
You're talking
followers.
About the black square thing, right?
Yeah.
So, oh, dude, we lost followers on our freaking Instagram, our podcast Instagram.
From both of our Instas, we lost followers posting, not like that day or even the day after. It was like a week after. And people are just like upset that we were posting content.
I don't remember what we put. It doesn't matter when. The thing was I thought was funny about it was that like you could just decide to, like, we'll say, like, unfriend or unfollow someone just because of, like, them posting. Because the thing is, it's, like, a lot of people are, like, oh, Black Lives Matter is, like, they're Marxists and blah, blah, blah. It's, like, that's not what we were supporting. It was a solidarity right.
No,
towards the concept.
It wasn't. I don't think it's because we, like, supported or, you know, didn't support or whatever. I think it was that we weren't
fast enough
posting on topic.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
We were posting about fitness stuff, and they're like, why are you posting about fitness stuff? You should be posting about racial injustice, or you should be posting about, you know,
government. See, I thought we lost them for both reasons, because we lost them going up, and then we lost, like, I know we lost three.
Oh,
like,
I know we lost
impact.
A couple because of, like, they're like, how can you support this, a couple of people.
Yeah, there was, like, an on-impact loss, but I think you're right. We did have some drop-off as it was approaching.
Yeah.
It's weird, right? They put you between a rock and a hard place. Like, you have to pick a team on everything lately, yeah. And it's like, there's a lot of much more important and influential people than us who've had a lot of issues with that. It's like, just from the not commenting, they've, like, both sides are like, okay, cool. Clearly you don't support us, so we hate you.
Right. I lost some clients because of that. I lost a client who was like, how could you be? I reached out to them because they took a break, and I was like, hey, are you ready to come back? Do you want to come train? And they're like, how could you be thinking about training right now when all these injustices are going on? I was like,
you know, you should have
I need to make my income.
You know, you should have said,
what?
You can't fight the system if you're over.
I should have said that.
That is the response. You should have just gone for a complete rebrand.
Oh, my God.
If you want to fight the system, you're not going to be able to do it if you can't run and move.
Yeah, so it's harder to protest for hours.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want to protest at full level, or do you want to be gasping for air hour one because you decided that you didn't need your trainer anymore, and now the injustice gets to run rampant because you didn't have Wes.
Yeah, you didn't have the endurance to stay in the protest all day.
Exactly. So. There you go. That's what
boom. That's my new program.
Spin zone, baby. This is the protest training plan.
I love it.
Oh, God, there's some really bad jokes in there. Just like swinging your arm over your head like 10 times each side, 3 reps.
We're going into dangerous territory.
Oh, Jesus.
Let's
all right.
Pump the brakes.
This is the worst episode we've had in a while.
Right.
This is my favorite.
Oh, Lord. I hope you guys are enjoying this as much as I am.
I'm having a great time. Gyms are open. Yeah. I'm going to get my mojo back. I've been drinking a gallon of water for the last 4 days, guys. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
You wanted to talk about a book that you've been reading.
Yeah, you actually recommended this one to me.
It's because I recommend great books. Everyone should trust my recommendations.
It's the David Goggins, You Can't Hurt Me. And I've known of David Goggins for a while now, and I've always been, like, you know, I've been respectful, obviously, like, done a lot and things like that, but I guess I never really fed into the hype. Like, everyone's like, oh, he's so motivational, he's so, like, hardcore, blah, blah, blah.
You don't get it till you get it.
Yeah, right. And it's just like, I feel like I wasn't ready to hear his message, and then now, when I finally did, I was like, okay, this is what I needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, you know, when you say, I've lost my mojo, I feel like before that, I lost my mojo, but I didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I, you know, started getting into this book, I'm like, discovering that I need to get it back or am getting it back.
To anyone who hasn't heard of David Goggins, definitely look into it. And to anyone who hasn't heard of his book, I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
It's a really good book it's not like an entry level self-help type book.
It's not.
Like, if you're like
it's a little harsh.
If you're at zero and you're sensitive and this and the other, it's not great. And first of all, I recommend the audiobook, not the actual reading. The audiobook has a format that's really excellent, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But basically, his whole concept is shut up, no one cares, do it. That's like the whole concept. And that's not the correct size hammer for everyone, but the way he represents it is really good, and I think it holds true for especially situations like these where it's like everyone's kind of like feeling boo-boo the fool about themselves, and it's as relevant as ever
right now.
Yeah. But the audiobook, it's like a podcast format.
It's so cool. It's like they'll talk about the chapter, the author or the narrator will read the whole chapter, you know, well, and then they'll pause, and then they'll bring David on, and he'll like go over his, like, you know, points and all of that, and he'll give like little details,
stories, little thoughts, just where his head was at.
Exactly.
It's really good, and it's beneficial.
It threw me off at first.
As someone who doesn't really love self-help books, like, I have a couple that I like, but that is definitely like in my top 5 of books that I think are beneficial to like grow as a person.
I feel like I can feel the XP points coming in.
Yeah, exactly.
I can feel the XP points while I'm, you know.
Exactly. Here. It's a... I recommend it. What's it called? David Goggins, You Can't Hurt Me?
Can't Hurt Me, yep. It's great. And I think that one of the biggest takeaways I got from it was the 40% rule on, like, you know, quitting early. You know, it's like when you're running, and I wish I listened to this part before we talked last episode. But basically, it's like, he says, your brain starts to tell you that you're hurting and it's time to quit when you're about 40% of your capacity. Okay. And then it's like, you know, at that point, know that you have 60% more to give. And it's like, it's so true. It's like when I'm in the gym and I start doing a set, when I get about halfway through the set, if it's like at near my max load, I'm like feeling it and I'm starting to hurt. Mm-hmm. And then I know that, like, just because I've been doing it for so many years, I'm about halfway through my set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing, man. It's our heads. We do a lot of mental gymnastics for why we can't do things. And mm-hmm. that's why the book is good, because he literally takes all that out. He says, like, I don't, like, care what your reasons are for whatever. Yeah. It's very much he doesn't care what your explanation is. It's just do it.
Right.
And a lot of people need to hear that. And a lot of people who could definitely grow as people can benefit from that. Mm-hmm. I think the other one I recommended to you was like the Obstacle is the Way. Ryan Holiday.
Yes.
That's the one that
I haven't started that one. What's that one about?
That's about stoicism in general. Uh-huh. That's it's not like the most, I don't know, scholarly book I've ever read. It's kind of like a synopsis, like a stoicism for dummies kind of book. And I recommend that one a lot because it changed a lot of things for me. It's just the concept of, how do I want to put this? There's no bad or good mm-hmm. things. There's just things.
How you deal
and
with
you
it.
Apply Ooh. Your value to them.
I like that.
And it's, of course, like, you know, there's some things that are like ultra bad. Like, you know, your parent died or like, you mm-hmm. know, you had a breakup or divorce, but then you have to like look at it as like, appreciate the things that you did gain.
Right.
Or look at it as an opportunity to, move on to better things or like,
say, up.
Like it's hard because you have to do like a little bit of mental gymnastics. Like, how is my dad dying? Something that's just a thing.
You have to see the silver lining and everything.
Like, okay, well, here's a moment for you to like appreciate who he was and who he had. And then you can like look at what he did and how he was and then like find a way to like honor his life and make it into something, make your life into something that he would think is like amazing and this, that, and the other. It's like, mm-hmm. it's not that it's not sad and bad for you. It's right. just that like you can sit here and wallow or you can like make it into an opportunity. And that's sort of where it sits around, and it's there's more to it,
right?
But that's definitely the one I read that years ago, but I always recommend it.
I'm gonna hit that one next. Looking forward to it.
Strong recommendation on those two. Those are both excellent books. And I think.
Are you reading anything right now?
Am I reading anything right now, dude? No, I've been like a YouTube podcast fiend lately.
Yeah,
it's just been nuts. I've been getting into some content that's I still don't want to ruin it because it's too early. I don't want to like talk about it prematurely.
Right.
But like I've been getting into content for like stuff that I plan on expanding for us. And
oh, nice. Everything.
Yeah.
Like looking at kind of
like watching tape. Watching tape. I'm like Hell watching how other people are doing what I want to do so that I can, you know, be better.
That's part of it too. That's its own type of knowledge. And I think we talked about that on one of our older one podcasts mm-hmm. about how it's like experiential knowledge.
Yeah.
It's important.
If you've never done something, you don't know someone who's done something. It's like, we live in a world where it's like, you can access it.
Right.
Just like, if you want to do something, watch other people, watch what they do and then find out ways that you can do it differently.
Yeah.
Or even just like copy them entirely and then figure it out from there.
Right.
Like no one's great at anything when they start it. So it's a good opportunity for you to like learn.
Oh, so true, man. I like that. I feel like a lot of people don't give enough credit to, you know, accredited sources of information.
Yeah.
Which are still sources of information. You just have to be a little bit more careful in making sure you're getting the right stuff.
And I don't agree with the argument when people are like, you don't need to go to college, watch YouTube. It's like, okay, that's just, like, you clearly don't.
It's not that easy.
Not There's a little bit more than that. But what I do think is that you can show up to an interview much more well-rounded than like your contemporaries or your peers. You can show up and say like, instead of just being like, hey, I have my degree in exercise science. It's mm-hmm. like, hey, you walk in there and you've watched literally every day of your life. In the last 3 years, you've watched like an hour of fitness content. That means when you talk to your boss who is likely, or your future boss, the guy interviewing you, who is likely committed their life to fitness, you can have a a conversation at his level.
Right. You're not just saying like the book's text.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't say, oh, my weakness is that I work too hard. You say, my weakness is actually that I don't have a really the strongest grasp of like flexibility and how that we can benefit that specifically in older individuals. It's like, and then you can have like this thing where he's just like, his eyes lie. He's like, wait, what the fuck? You actually know that you don't know that thing that is actually like, you know, this is the thing. Like, I don't need to sit here and teach you how to talk to a client. I need to teach you about this specific thing.
Right.
And then you're already ahead of most
already
of
have
the
an
people.
Outline. You know,
exactly. It makes you smarter.
Yeah. It's like going through some of those mistakes that you normally would have hit, but you get to avoid it because you learn from someone else.
Exactly. It's a difference between being educated and being like informed and intelligent.
Right.
Like
street smarts is where people would say, oh, I have street smarts or not book smarts.
Have you ever heard
it's both.
Daniel Tosh joke about that. He's smarts was made up by people who wanted to say something smart about themselves. They wanted to use the word smart to describe themselves, but it does, right. It does.
That's
fit.
So funny. I haven't heard that.
It's like, there's a difference between knowing something and being educated on it. It's like, just cause you went to college does not make you, you're not suddenly a nutritionist, you're not suddenly an engineer, you got to go learn the job.
Right. I love that.
You're qualified.
Qualified.
All right. So we're getting a little bit late into it. So let's go ahead and wrap up a little bit. We have a couple last things. Mm-hmm. Today was my last day being a vegetarian.
Bro, congratulations. What was it? A whole month?
Yeah, it was a whole month.
Dang, bro.
Wasn't Did hard. It.
And
super
going
funny.
From like the complete opposite, I feel like that's a big switch.
my girlfriend was asking me that the other day. She's like, why do you keep doing this? I was like, I don't know. Like, who cares? I will say that being carnivore is like 100 times harder than being a vegetarian.
Wow.
Especially when you have like the eggs and stuff. And I keep saying that over and over. I want to be clear how, like, to our vegan people out there, being a vegetarian is easier than being like a vegan. If I didn't have cheese, eggs, and other stuff like that, like I would have been struggling.
Yeah, but that'd be tough.
It was good. And the good news for, if you care, is I'm taking a week off of vegetarianism. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get my back to the gym and stuff. And then I'm going to be doing another month as a vegetarian, but actually at the gym. So then I can feel workouts. Like.
I'm excited to see how your body responds to that.
I'm interested. I don't really know. I've been having really good energy, but I don't know if that's just because I've been sitting around. We'll see if that can translate into like the more explosive / mm-hmm. like functioning energy. But I will say that if you live a sedentary lifestyle, being a vegetarian is easy as hell.
I bet.
Like, I would say that like there's no reason that
especially
you
especially today's
be a vegetarian.
Day and age, you know, it's very supportive culturally.
You want to get like environmental about it and all that other stuff. I'd make the argument that like if you live a completely sedentary lifestyle, like there's almost no reason to not be a vegetarian.
Right.
Like it's just your preference at that point.
Yeah.
Like there's no logical argument for like why you should be eating meat if you are not in any way active.
I need all the protein.
It's yeah, like, exactly. What? It's like, yeah, we shit on your ass. So it's like just eat less and make it like 99% plants.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's all types of great stuff you can eat that falls under vegetarian. So, mm-hmm. If you're a vegetarian, you're listening, congratulations, you win, I guess. I did these because I want to be able to make fun of other people's diets, and I can't make fun of vegetarians.
Because it's working.
Yeah, so I'm going to find out, and I think that the workouts will be fine. I think maybe a little...
I think it will. I think you'll feel good.
I think we'll have a little bit of struggles on some of the strength and stuff, but with some retooling with what I've already been doing, that's why I'm glad I did the first month, because now I know what I was already doing
I don't
wrong.
Think you'll have troubles with strength. I bet you'll just be pretty sore. I bet you won't get sore, less sore as quickly.
I think if I supplement properly, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like supplement the creatine.
You'll have to be on it. You got to be on it, bro.
Oh, am I ever? I'm never completely on it.
This might be the turning point.
Yeah, we'll see.
You don't have a choice.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm probably going to end up going out tonight and like eating a burger and then like immediately regretting it.
You're
and
like,
then
I'm just going to be like, stomach hurts.
Yeah, I'm probably just going to be like, I think I'm just going to be a vegetarian now. My tummy hurts. I can't do that shit, man. That's fucking terrible.
Oh, man.
I did have a couple here notes here. There was an update.
Yes.
In Wes the Trainer.
Wes the Trainer, me. Guess what, guys? I'm moving to Scottsdale, and you can train with me if you want to. So
buy it here, buy it now.
Buy it here, buy it now. There's a link in my bio on my Instagram, which I will shout out at the end of the episode. But basically, I know a lot of people have been like wondering, hey, when are you going to move to Scottsdale? I've been trying to train with you. Now you can.
So now he's in Scottsdale.
I'll be training at Independence Gym probably by the end of the month fully, but right now I'm in split between Glory Gaines and Independence. So both of them, one's up north on Frank Lloyd Wright in the 101, North Scottsdale. The other one's like 10 minutes north of the Tempe Marketplace. So hit me up, please, and I will get you in there before we get overbooked, because we're about to start throwing some social media ads out there.
Yeah, it'll be quick. But yeah. Wes, what if I don't live in Phoenix and cannot work out with you? Can I do online?
Of course. And I just signed up a new online client today. I'm excited to be working with my boy James. We're going to get some serious results. So if you are also looking for an online coach who, you know, will help you with nutrition, training, and cardio, all three parts, as well as some accountability, then please look me up. We do online training as well.
Wow.
Yes.
What value?
What a value. Invest in yourself.
There you go. Now you have no excuse. He's in Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm.
I see you also added another thing at the bottom. Do you have a tangent about hiking?
I do. I have. I feel like a lot of these weekend warriors are ruining it for the rest of us.
Wait, what?
These weekend warrior hikers that like, they're like, oh my God, there's nothing else to do in the world besides go on a hike because everything's closed and you can't travel to other places because of the coronavirus. So it's like all these noobs who normally never go on a hike their whole life, you know, and aren't even into hiking are deciding to go out and like do these hard ass hikes in Arizona where it's over 100 degrees outside.
Does this go back to the gallon of water thing?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, bro, we were out there and they're like, look, guys, you're not allowed to go on this hike unless you have a gallon of water each, which is a lot of water.
That's a lot of water.
Yeah. Like a Camelback holds 2-3 quarts.
Uh-huh.
Right.
This is a gallon of water right here. And the gallon, this gallon of water is bigger than my head.
It is bigger.
Like chest size.
Yeah. It's like,
it's a lot of water.
Think about like bigger than a football.
Yeah.
You know, it's big. So basically they're saying you have a gallon of water each, which that's like 2 Camelbacks, or that's like 1.5 Camelbacks.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Like, most people who don't are carry actual that. Hikers even don't come prepared with that much water on hand.
Exactly. And it's like, we actually lied to them. We're like, yeah, we have a gallon each, which we didn't. We each had about 2-3 quarts, you know, like a Camelback full each, which that's all we needed. If we would have gotten stuck or something bad would have happened, then we would have needed more water and that would have been, you know, disastrous. But I think that because a lot of people are now trying to get into hiking because there's not much else to do in Arizona because of the quarantine, then, you know, a lot of people are taking unnecessary risks, and it's ruining it for the rest of us.
Maybe you just know your limitations, people. That's probably a benefit. Because there are a lot of really hard hikes in Arizona. Arizona is not
it's a hiking destination state.
Yeah, there's a lot of very difficult hikes. It gets very hot. I don't think a gallon of water is going to save most of those people.
Yeah, it's not the water that's the issue. It's like they're not conditioned to the heat or the distance.
Okay. Well, you also hear that.
Sorry, I just need to get that off my chest. I was heated.
Upsetting Wes. You are going out on hikes and dying from dehydration. Not only are you killing one of our viewers, which is a problem for us, you're upsetting Wes.
Yes.
And you yourself are dying. All of these are bad things.
Yeah. Get your shit together.
Get your shit together. All right, well, we're going to wrap up here because I have to piss like crazy.
Yay.
You can find us at BNS_radio. You can find me on Instagram at Dimitri Sebastian.
And you can find me at WKendall_MFT. Hit the link in the bio for training.
Get some training.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody. See you next time.